This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan Ampage Pagan alongside Bahe Yusuf. Now, you've probably already heard of this because everyone's been talking about it, but we've been saving our review for Halloween. The Haunting of Hill House is streaming on Netflix. It is a modern reimagining of the very popular Shirley Jackson novel, which kind of follows a group of siblings who grew up in what is the most famous haunted house in the country. Now, the novel actually has been adapted many times already. There was a movie called The Haunting in 1963, and then a remake in 1999 with Liam Neeson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Owen Wilson. The story is a very, very popular ghost story, but this one by Mike Flanagan, who's the showrunner, is something altogether remarkable.
I mean, if you are a listener to this show, regular listener to the show, you know I don't watch horror.
But he
hates
horror.
I hate horror. I love this show.
You do.
I mean, I made the mistake of watching episode one at night with my wife, and I turned to her and go, "We're watching this tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Only during the daytime.
Only during the daytime.
I only watch episodes during the daytime.
However, it was so good that I think I had to watch the last two episodes at night because I couldn't stop. This is an amazing show.
It is. Now, the cast is also amazing. Michael Huisman, Carla Gugino, Elizabeth Risa, Henry Thomas, Timothy Hutton, Lulu Wilson, McKenna Grace, Kate Siegel. They play the family, Hugh and Olivia Crane and their five children, Stephen, Shirley, Theodora, Luke and Eleanor. I was talking about Mike Flanagan earlier. He's got some horror cred as well. He was the writer and director of things like Oculus, Absentia, Gerald's Game,
okay.
Ouija, Origin of Evil, where we would have seen Lulu Wilson as well.
Right.
She's the little girl who's in a lot of horror movies, and she's absolutely wonderful. And this is a show that's put together by people who know ghost stories.
And there that's the difference, right? It's ghost stories, right? This is how you tell an oral story or you read a really well-written ghost story book. They don't lean onto the cinematic tropes of
jump scares.
Ghost movies and jump scares.
Musical cues.
This has got none of that, and it was just amazing.
There is a deep understanding of what is scary.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes this so good. I mean, yeah. The writers, the directors, they know exactly how to play a scene so that they show you what's coming and you see it coming. It doesn't jump out at you.
No.
It's right there in front of you.
But
and you're frozen in terror.
But then they will sort of use that time to just twist that tension in you, right? Because you see it walking ever so slowly towards you and you can't run. As a viewer, you're just like standing there going, run, run. But you're just still watching. And it's amazing. They do that all day, every day. It's great.
The performances are absolutely wonderful. You believe these characters are a completely broken family.
Yeah, right? But you first believe them that they're family, right? The relationship feels strong between the actors and the characters.
Yes.
They feel like a true family. They feel like a family that was tight, that was strong, that was good, that have broken up.
That have been slowly destroyed and torn apart by this house.
By this house and what this house has done and brought to them.
The idea behind it, you know, Hugh and Olivia Crane are building up this house, Hill House.
Mm.
It is not a house on a hill. The hills used to live there. That's why it's called The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
And they're redoing this house so they can sell it.
Yeah.
And so they can actually have what they call their forever house, which is their dream family home, right? And of course, the whole family has to live here while they're renovating. And this house has lots of nooks and crannies and scary things and doors that won't open and all of the usual horror stuff, things that go knock, knock in the night.
Mm.
But for the most part, all of that is secondary to the way they tell the story, to the way these characters interact with one another, yeah. and also to the love that you feel between all of these characters.
Yeah, I mean, this entire series is really, in some ways, about love. It's not about, unlike other ghost horror movies, it's not about hate, it's not about fear, it's not about suffering. This is purely about love, and it permeates the entire show, right? It permeates through all the characters, and you see that, and the house being the house, like you said, it's got all the tropes, right? It's got statues. It's got random marble statues in hallways. It's got doors that won't open. It's got stairwells. It's got you know, a dumb waiter. It's a massive mansion of a house. So it's got all these things that you expect. But if you haven't seen it, and I've got a piece of advice, keep an eye on the background.
Watch everything.
Watch everything. Because when there's a character talking and... pay attention to the character, but keep an eye on the stuff in the back, because sometimes things will, I will say, pop up, but the camera doesn't cut to it, the popping up, right? It just happens in the background, and some other characters may react to it. So if you miss it, you miss it.
There are secret ghosts
everywhere.
There
are secret ghosts everywhere. If you go online and you just look it up, there's all these lists of things to look out for on your rewatch of Haunting. It's just... it's a great series.
The amount of detail that has gone into the production of this. I mean, yeah. The subtlety in which they portray ghosts and how they use it to tell the story, not for effect,
not just
right?
for effect.
In
yeah.
a subtle, non-obvious way. Mm. Absolutely remarkable. I mean, there is so much detail. And when you say rewatch, yes, this is a show that you can rewatch. Because... yeah. Watching it the first time, you're focused on what is happening to these characters, right? You want to know what's happening to these siblings. You're focused on the plot. You want to know what the twists are. You want to know the story. Once you've worked that out, once you know where all the major scares are coming from, you can pay attention to the minor scares. Because the minor scares
there are, quite a few.
Are everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're hidden from you.
Yeah, it's like a Where's Waldo TV series.
But I think those layers actually help.
Oh, no, completely.
Because subconsciously... you notice them.
It's not only that, right? But if you're watching it with people, and I was watching it with my wife, and you should try and watch it with people, because there will be things that other people see that you won't, and vice versa. So, for example, that happened with me and my wife. You know, so there were just a lot of these little things in the background, right? And it's also the kind of show you want to have sort of like a postmortem after every episode, because it happens that things... I picked up on certain things that she didn't. Or I picked it up a little earlier than the story, and she did with some stuff as well.
It's also quite fun the way the show is structured, because the timeline is quite a short one.
Yes.
But the way every episode unfolds tells you a different POV, but it doesn't feel repetitive. It actually goes into the lives of these individual characters and how they react and respond to one another.
Also, it's one of the best sort of use of... I don't want to use the word flashback, because they're not really flashbacks, because they jump back in time to when these characters were children, and they follow it quite a bit. So it's not like a little interlude flashback. It's, you know, they go into that storyline, but they managed it and they've written it in such a way where you never really lose track of where you are or where in the story that you are. You know exactly where things are and are happening at that time. Like you said, they jump back and they jump between characters quite a bit. There were times when in a different episode, you're watching one bit that happens at the same time as something that had happened in the previous episode. So you know that it's happening at the same time, but you're watching essentially a different point of view. And I think the way they've written it out and the way they've structured the episodes is really well done.
There also isn't any Netflix bloat in this one. I think, you know, with Daredevil and this, they are 10 episodes that are perfectly paced. Mm. You want to find out more of these characters. Mm. You're learning these twists as they go along, and you don't feel like you need to skip ahead, or you don't feel there are any unnecessary bits.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're just waiting to get to something to happen, right? It just happens, and that they did that really wonderfully.
I just love the way they tell the stories, man. I love the way there are all these things that are happening that people think are supernatural and ghost stories, but they are the monsters that we face every day in real life. Meanwhile, the real ghosts do exist.
They are the ones
who are haunting this family and that house.
Yeah.
And that juxtaposition, that contrast is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the first episode is called Stephen Sees a Ghost.
Yeah.
The title gives it away. It gives everything away. And yet you're watching it and you're just going, when does Stephen see a ghost? When does Stephen see a ghost, damn it?
Yeah.
And when he does, it's in the title. And when he does, it's still shocking. It's still surprising. It's so amazing. What a strong opener. I love this series.
Even when Stephen sees the ghost, it's so well done that you don't, for me, for a split second,
You're not sure.
And that, to me, is the great part, right? You're not sure if, because you're not sure if it's a ghost. And then you work it out in your head and you go, no.
But it's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn.
They show you the ghost. There is this phenomenal scene where young Luke is hiding under his bed and you know exactly what is going to happen.
But you've seen
it takes like a minute and a half.
Luke's gone out the room, sees this thing and runs to hide, and it just, you know it's happening. You know the sound is there. It's
You hear it.
You see it walking to you and you're still just in absolute terror.
It is amazing.
It's great.
I love the series so much.
There's such a nice twist as well.
If you want something to watch tonight on Halloween, this is where you start. The Haunting of Hill House is now streaming on Netflix. Let us know what you think. Also, you know, take screenshots and tag us on Twitter if you found things in the background.
Yeah, do that. That would be great.
That have creeped you out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm at @UmaFagan.
I'm at @BahiY.
You can also tweet us on @TheMoviesMY. You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.